Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
We will be continuing that conversation shortly, but for now we are connecting with David Banda, and we're going to be speaking about the role of faith in facing death. And after that conversation, we will be able to continue our song there by Asante a cappella. I believe Brother Banda is on the line already. My brother, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Piazza.
Once again, as we conclude our conversation for this week. And today we are tackling a profound and intimate subject, which is how our faith shapes our attitudes toward mortality and dying. And, you know, in a world where death is often seen as the ultimate end, faith offers a unique lens through which we can view this inevitable part of life. Whether it's providing comfort, a hope, or a sense of purpose, faith profoundly influences how we face our own mortality and the loss of loved ones. So, my brother, what biblical passages offer comfort and guidance on the topic of mortality?
Okay, let's start here by what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 18. Mm-hmm. 18. Paul has this voice to say in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 18 to 18. The Bible says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Rest your sorrows as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the way of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. So this is where now we get the comfort when we are facing the idea of death. So right. Now Paul urges these people to say, we don't want you to be ignorant concerning what will happen to the dead. So he gives a clear map to say, when Jesus Christ is going to come, those who died in Jesus Christ will rise first.
Beautiful.
So sure, you and I, we have this hope built already. Like even when we are to die today, Jesus Christ is going to resurrect us, because we will die in the Lord. As long as we die in the Lord, then we have hope and assurance to say, it is just a sleep. I'll wake up. When my master comes, he'll wake me up.
Something to look forward to.
Sure.
And so how does faith in the resurrection and in eternal life then influence a Christian's perspective on death?
Come again?
I was asking, how does faith in the resurrection, how does faith in eternal life, how does that belief influence our perspective on death?
Okay, so now, let's take the other angle first. If we don't believe that we are going to resurrect, if we believe to say death is the end of things, how will be our life on earth? My imagination says that our life will live a life of miserable, will live a life of you know, when you lose a beloved one, because that will be the, with that notion in mind, you will say that is the end. So now, us believing and having faith that one day Jesus has power over resurrection, we are going to be happy souls, even though we lose our beloved ones. We are going to encourage ourselves. They have just gone to sleep. One day my master is coming to wake them up. Even though ourselves, we are our loved ones are to die, or they are to sleep, we have this assurance and faith to say, one day I will meet them. So we have this hope to hope for that. One day we'll meet those, our beloved ones. So having this faith shapes us on how we will meet these sorrows of our beloved ones.
Beautiful. And that's definitely another thing to look forward to. Every time someone goes to sleep and we have to say goodbye to a loved one, it does bring some comfort to know that this is not the end. We will see them once again, especially if it's someone that we know lived a faithful life. And that's definitely a beautiful thing. Now, what role does prayer and spiritual practice play in preparing for and coping with the reality of death? How does our prayer life help us to prepare for the reality of death? Because it almost sounds like a very depressing way to live, to constantly be thinking about death. Am I supposed to live my life thinking about when I'm going to die?
Okay, maybe first, we don't have to overwhelm ourselves with a lot of thoughts like, when am I going to die?
Yeah.
When am I going to die? How will people say and everything? I'm sure I will just quote one of these good writers said, live your life as if it is your last day living on earth. Now, you should notice someone who believes in the resurrection and says, a doctor says to you, you only have 24 hours to live.
Mm.
My assumption that during that 24 hours, that person will be praying, having Bible studies, songs, and everything, so that he perfects the life that before 24 hours, I have to make sure that my life is secured.
Yeah.
Is secured. Now, that should be our way of life. That's what our Sister White encouraged. That should be our way of life. Every day we live, we say, this is like my last day living on earth. So, in whatever you do, you'll be morally upright in your prayer life, you'll be morally upright because when a person dies, no one is going to intercede for you to go to heaven. Your case has already been decided for life and death. So we need to take our spiritual life and our prayer life so seriously. What is to our life? Because when we die, no one is coming to intercede for us.
Very true. And some people might... I think the place where sometimes we get confused is that we treat it as if it's some kind of a payment. Like it's a subscription service where, I must pay by praying and by reading my Bible. That's how I pay my dues. That's how I buy my ticket into heaven. And yet it's more about building a genuine relationship. That's really the main thing, having a genuine relationship with Jesus. And that's how you can then look forward to it. It's not just about marking the register. And I think that's why we know that at the end of time, as Jesus says, many will say, Lord, Lord, we did ABC in your name. And he'll say, I never knew you.
And those words, they are not coming to non-Christians. These words are coming to Christians who used to church every Saturday or perhaps every Sunday. Eish. They used to go to church and now God says to them, I never knew you.
That
would be so disappointing.
That would be so disappointing. Yeah. And then...
Because they'll say, no, Lord, we cast demons in your name. We did community service.
Yes.
We did this. But it's going to say, I never knew you. That would be so heartbreaking.
That'll be so heartbreaking. So I think it's so important to actually build a genuine connection with Jesus.
Yes.
And then how does our faith also provide a sense of peace and purpose when we're facing the mortality of our loved ones as well? So not just for ourselves, but even the thought that, hey, one day I'm going to lose my parents, or one day I might lose my spouse, or, how does our faith provide the sense of peace in such moments?
Okay. Let's use Hebrews 2, verses 14 to 15.
Okay.
Yes, hi, Hebrews. Hebrews 2, verses 14. There are these words, inasmuch then the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, and that is the devil. And then 15, and release those who though fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So now, here in Hebrews, we have been encouraged to say, there is Jesus Christ who died to pay the penalty of death.
Mm.
There is this Jesus Christ who set us free from this bondage of death. He defeated he who had power, but now death has no power. So through believing in this text, we believe to say, though my parents were to die, though our beloved ones were to die,
mm-hmm.
as long as they die in Jesus Christ, the penalty of death was paid already on the cross.
Amen. Amen. That's beautiful.
Sure.
And how do the concepts of heaven and, you know, eternal life in our doctrines, how do those shape attitudes toward death?
Okay. If it were not for heaven, I don't know what would our hope be. Because now, if we are resurrected, then what?
Right.
If we are resurrected, then what?
Just come and do this all over again.
Imagine. I wouldn't love to resurrect to come to this life again. I would just rather maybe I just go without coming back. So now, my hope for resurrection comes because I'm promised of heaven. We are being promised of heaven. So now, heaven is it's a better place.
Yeah,
it's actually liberation described it. Say it's a place where there are no sorrows. It's a place where there are no pain. I mean, this world is so sorrowful. If you are not facing them, then I wonder if you are truly living.
Yeesh.
Because look at the things we are facing here and under the sun. Yeah. They are, at some point, you need to think and realize, how would my life be when I die?
Yeah.
How would my where will I be when I die? So now, where you're going to be, it only gives you an assurance that if I were to be, then let it be heaven. Then heaven gives us assurance to say, one day when I die, I will just sleep. Then when I wake up, I'll wake up to a better place. Immediately when my master comes to say, David, I have come, let's go, then I will know that it is a better place.
Amen.
Not coming to this sort of world again.
Amen. That's a beautiful thing to look forward to. And some people, you know, talking about heaven, it sounds like a far-fetched fantasy. It sounds like something that, oh, come on, how... How possible, how plausible is it that we could go there? And I think it's so beautiful that God planned this for us rather than just destroying us altogether and just, you know, just forgetting about us. It just goes to show that his intention was relationship. He's so interested in relationship with us. And when the devil tried to mess it up, he came, he made a way so that we can continue. Those who want it can still continue and have that relationship. And then when he comes down, he's ending all of this nonsense that we're going through. I know I couldn't do it again. I couldn't do it again.
That's my courage as well.
Yeah.
That's my hope. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. No, we can't do this again. I've had enough. So,
For sure.
How does faith address the fear of the unknown aspects of dying and the afterlife? I know it's some people, you know, they are so afraid, they're terrified of the possibility of death, you know, being alone in the grave. You're alone. You don't have friends in there. So it might be a bit, it might be fearsome for some people. How does faith, how does faith address that fear?
Okay. Actually, some artists are starting to say, you know, the death, like at the graveyard, it's boring. so some of that here to say it's really boring. I don't want to go there. I just want to remain here where it's happening.
Yeah.
So now, how we can address this? Number one, we need to have this notion in mind that where it's like, is it boring to sleep like an overnight sleep where you're just unconscious of not knowing what is happening? Is it boring?
It's not.
So if it's boring, then you have to be worried about death. Now, the other thing is, when Jesus Christ on the cross said, it is done, it is finished, that was the time he was conquered. So you and I, we don't have to fear of dying because it was already conquered, it was defeated. Even the one who had the power over death was defeated when he said it is finished. So we don't need to fear. We are just going, actually, if the moments I love is to sleep, if there are moments I love is to sleep, because you have rest from there. Imagine. So if God calls me to sleep today, I won't be worried to say, no, I didn't do this. I didn't do this. I'll say, praise be to God. He has called me to rest today. At the time I wake up, I'll rise to a better life. So we have this hope.
Yeah.
Sure.
Every morning
we have this hope to say.
Every morning we wake up, we're just thinking, not again. Another
imagine.
Day. If I could just get another hour. If I could just get one more hour.
One more hour to sleep. So if you are afraid to go to sleep, then you are to be afraid of death. But if you are like me who enjoys to sleep, then you don't have to fear death, because you are just going there to sleep. And one day the master is going to come and say, David, wake up. And I will say, at the graveyard, where is your power?
Amen.
Where does your power rise?
Amen.
And would have defeated death from there.
Amen. Amen. It's such a beautiful lesson. And sure. it's with regards to the way that we view death, the way that we approach the issue of death, whether it's our own death or the death of our loved ones, it's so important to have all these reminders, because I think it's been painted as, I mean, of course, every day that we are alive is a gift. And so in contrast to that, it makes it look like, so that means death is not, like death is some kind of a punishment. And sometimes I find that I have to remind myself when someone has passed away, I find myself feeling sorry for that person. So not even for their family, but for that person, like, oh, shame, that person has died. And yet that person is asleep. That person is at peace. That person is resting. You can feel sympathy and empathy for the family and for the loved ones, but that person is fast asleep.
He's going to rest.
Their next thing that's going to happen, the next voice they're going to hear is the voice of Jesus. So that person is so lucky, so blessed to be in that position. So that's an interesting way of viewing it as a Christian. So it's not something to be afraid of.
No, we don't have to be afraid of death.
Any final thoughts as we wrap this up for the week?
Okay, my greatest words, maybe I can say the last words would be, let us not be afraid of death.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if we don't get to hear any voice of mine, I don't get to hear your voice anywhere else, let it be in heaven. Because after we die, we know the next voice we're going to hear, it's the voice of the Master.
Amen.
If there is a thing I don't like, is to be waken up. But when I know that when my Master is going to call me, when he's going to wake me, he's not going to wake me to my daily duties. He's going to wake me to a better life. So let's be hopeful of that voice.
That's it. I love that.
Sure.
Thank you so much, my brother. I really appreciate you coming through and sharing. Such a beautiful way to wrap up the conversation. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you as well.
Have a lovely Sabbath.
Thank you. Have a blessed Sabbath, dear.
Thank you so much. My family, that was David Banda speaking to us about how faith influences the way that we view death and what happens after death, the way that we view death for ourselves as well as our loved ones. And it's such a beautiful lesson and a beautiful reminder of who God is and of the hope that we have of what is going to come after the grave when we hear the Master's voice, when he wakes us up and he calls us out of our graves. That's such a beautiful moment to look forward to. And like David said, that, you know, being woken up to your daily duties is one of the most, most annoying things. That's when you're like, I need another hour. But think about it, when you're waking up, well, maybe as a child, waking up on your birthday. That's exciting, right? Waking up because you're going on holiday, or waking up because there's something exciting planned for the day, or waking up because it's the Sabbath. All of those moments when you wake up, you're not thinking, no, I need another hour. You're waking up full of excitement and you're happy because there's something to look forward to. That's what it's going to be when Jesus comes back and he wakes us up out of our graves. Such a beautiful moment to look forward to. And I hope whoever might have been thinking about the idea of death and the grave as something negative and something frightful is able to look at it and see that, you know what, as long as God is in control, there's nothing to fear.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.